There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have y'all along. 251-343-0106. Get you through on a phone call or a text. 251-343-0106. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, if you'll use that on the front page of the app, you see a microphone icon. If you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show. And I might play it back here on the radio. All right, without further ado, you know him and you love him from his work at AL.com, and you admire him from a distance, maybe, when the court is really packed, as a semi-pro pickleball player, and also my friend, John Sharp, joins us. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Doing good. Is it too hot for pickleball right now, or what's going on?
Well, you can get some pretty intense games, and I played on Sunday afternoon. It was hot. But you take your breaks, you drink your water, you get some electrolytes in you, you keep going for a few hours until you try not to collapse. But is it too hot? No, it's not for us that are dedicated to the sport right now. We're still plugging along.
Y'all, that's what a winner sounds like. Okay, that's what a winner sounds like.
I didn't win many games, though. It gets to be a battle of survival then, you know.
Yeah, you have a winner's mind. Whether you won or not, that's what a winner thinks like.
Right.
And by the way, electrolyte-wise, are you doing Gatorade, or have you... have you hit this liquid IV stuff? I'm by the way, not sponsored by them, but I found the sugar-free liquid IV, and this stuff, I drank Gatorade over the years and whatever the coaches gave us in football, but that I'm digging the liquid IV.
I'm with you. Liquid IV is my go-to as well. I do like Gator Light.
I've had
that as well. Yeah. But, you know, liquid IV does do wonders, and I go with that. I would take that way over pickle juice, which is another thing. People buy containers of pickle juice. It's just awful. But so go with the liquid IV.
Yeah, it's good. And y'all, it's not just for, you know, semi-pro athletes like John. Me, if I'm, you know, work outside, you know, a whole bunch in the sun, or we'll be fishing. My buddy Captain Bobby Abrascato, right, who's out on the boat every day. You get cramps and all that stuff. He's like, I saw him the other day. We were on a wade fishing trip, and he starts drinking liquid IV. I said, my man, you're on it too. So we'll probably find out it's bad for you, but right now I'm a committed liquid IV person.
Yeah.
All right. I want to, as we get to our first story here, can y'all queue up? Can we have our music here? Can we? Okay. There we go. Yes. As the world... or the Orange Beach turns, we go to our first story with John. The latest now. Headline, I don't know what is happening in this community. Mayor, councilwoman clash in Orange Beach. John, what is the latest today's episode of As the Orange Beach Turns? What's happening?
Well, today's episode is based on last night's city council meeting. And, interestingly, the council... the first half hour of the meeting was without incident. It was a well-run meeting. They were handling the business of the day. There was no sniping or griping or anything going on. It was when that moment came to open up the mic for the public, that's when some folks got up to the mic, and then all of a sudden accusations based on things that have popped up over on Facebook started coming up. That eventually led to the mayor making some comments. A disruption out in the audience involving the husband of Councilwoman Ginger Harrelson. Councilwoman Harrelson asking the mayor. The mayor made a comment saying, you know, if you speak out of turn, I'll have you removed from the meeting, or something along those lines, or to alert the police officer of this situation. And then Ginger Harrelson coming back and saying, you're going to remove my husband from the meeting? So that's when things started there was a little bit of a spiral going on. So, yeah, a little bit more of that headbutting going on in Orange Beach, largely based behind the scenes on this ethics complaint. Three of the council members filed against Mayor Kinnon. It was an ethics complaint filed by Councilwoman Harrelson, Councilman Robert Stewart, and Councilmember Jeff Silvers. Jeff Silvers was not at the council meeting yesterday. So you had, and Councilman Stewart kind of kept a lower profile in this meeting compared to a meeting last month in which him and Kinnon butting heads. So you have a lot of issues going on right now. And the blame yesterday boiled down to a lot of activity that goes on. And folks that are aware of what's going on in Orange Beach, it's not hard. I mean, you really have to find a way to avoid this now. But it's all over Facebook.
It is. It's like
almost daily.
It should be called Orange Beach Book. I mean, I live in West Mobile County. You know, I don't make it to South Baldwin a lot, but it's like all over my feed. If I ever do open it up and go anywhere other than Facebook Marketplace looking for stuff, it's like everything is, I'm like, okay, there's other news. Everything's Orange Beach.
Yeah, it's a lot. And you know, then it becomes, well, you know, how much of this is legit versus what is, you know, whose story should we be following here? You know, whose story is true and whose story is not? I mean, the fact right now is we got a federal lawsuit out there based on a couple of elements. One of them, I think the biggest one that, from my understanding, looking at the cases that have come up, is to try and get access to body camera footage.
What the ethics complaint's about, right?
Right. That's what it's about as well. That's what this federal lawsuit's getting at as well. And according to a post yesterday from attorney C.C. Dixon Moreno, who's kind of led a lot of the Facebook activity against the mayor and some of the council members. The push really, and she's got the lawsuit as well, she's filed the federal lawsuit. It seems like we kind of want to go after the constitutional question of not releasing body cam footage based on, you know, this argument whether or not it's a public record. We've seen the state side of things. The Alabama State Supreme Court's weighed in on a case from 2021, the Land Yaps case. It was an 8-1 vote. I believe the Chief Justice was the only one who voted against it, but they ruled that body camera footage is not considered public record. That's on the state side of things. And we've had several issues that have come up since then. We had a state law that was approved, which allows people that are in the body cam footage the potential to have access to that camera footage, but they have to get law enforcement approval. There's been criticism that, well, you know, that's nice and all, but it really doesn't have any teeth. So there was a bill that came out a couple of years ago trying to, you know, take the legislative route, not the court route, but the legislative route to name body camera footage as a public record. That didn't go anywhere in the state legislature. So we're at this situation now from the state side of things where body camera footage is not considered public record. I mean, I could file a records request tomorrow asking for this body cam footage of the issue in Orange Beach or any issue in Orange Beach, and, you know, systematically it could be denied based on that fact. But there is this federal lawsuit that's been, you know, filed, and it's got to go through that process, in which, you know, I think the hope is that potentially the federal judge would overturn Alabama's, you know, would potentially rule body cam footage as a matter of public record. And that could have, could be precedent setting. That could be, you know, are we talking about taking this thing all the way to the Supreme Court? That's a lot of what ifs. We don't know yet. And so there's a long way to go. But that's kind of where things are at right now. And in the meanwhile, you got these ethics complaints that are out there. You hear different reports about, you know, where these cases are going to go. But, you know, that's the Alabama Ethics Commission doesn't really do their work out in public. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, are they even going to be investigating? They don't often take these cases up and then tell the media what they're going to be doing. So, Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, all these things are in the backdrop. And what we're seeing in the last couple of meetings in Orange Beach is this public dispute going on. And then in the meantime, American and there's been some a couple of executive sessions and he's not attended them. And so that's kind of where we're at. Yeah, there's, you know, Councilwoman Ginger Harrelson's asking for voluntary release of a body cam footage at issue. That's the heart of this question right now. From 2024, and that's been well reported now that, you know, potentially may have involved the mayor and his wife. The mayor denies any incident that may have been deemed a domestic disturbance or anything along those lines. So it's kind of a back and forth, he said, she said type of situation. But, yeah, the heart of the matter right now is his body cam footage.
Yeah, and, I mean, has anybody posed the question this way? That if nothing's there, then why not release it voluntarily?
Correct. Yeah, that's been some of the questions as well, is just release it. There's nothing there. Let's just see what the footage is all about. And there's been arguments, well, if you do that, you're setting a precedent. You know, at what point do we, as a city,
well, voluntary
release all
is
body
not a precedent.
Footage?
If somebody chooses, right? I mean, if I choose to do something, that doesn't set law. I just personally chose to do it.
That's correct. I mean, yes, the city could choose to do that, but I mean, what the argument I've heard is that, well, if we voluntarily choose to release this footage, then we would, you know, at what point do we have to start releasing other footage? I know what you're saying, Sean, but that's just the argument I've heard on the other side.
There it is. We'll continue to follow the story through your reporting over at AL.com, or if they want to find you directly on social media, how do they do that?
At John Sharp 99.
All right. And so, by the way, too, I'm looking at the text line. There's, you and I are a lot of Liquid IV fans out here. So,
we're good.
Yeah. So, we're making a move here. John, I appreciate it, man.
I like the strawberry lemonade. All right.
Yeah,
thanks,
I like that one. The peach isn't bad. But, yeah. All right. There he goes, John Sharp. And we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, to 122, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. You know, we spent the lion's share of the first hour of the show talking about the situation with Iran. And I'm going to bring the professor in on this. Professor at the University of Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, Ron joins us now. Hey, Ron.
How you doing, sir?
Doing good. This is something you've talked about with us on precious metals and how their prices are reflected by, you know, a lot of things other than just scarcity, right? Or the idea of scarcity. And one of them has
been.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's not just, you know, there's only this many people want to buy, this many people are selling. When this first started, I thought that precious metals prices would even outflank what they had done before, but they really haven't. With the situation with Iran, what's the play here? What are you thinking?
And that's really holding it back. Historically, when there's world turmoil, you know, wars, turmoil overseas, especially things that involve oil, and if it's overseas, it almost always involves the price of oil. Investors, many of them, especially banks and institutions, tend to move things into the bond market because the bond market, the U.S. dollar gets stronger. And of course, they have fiduciary responsibility to their clients, so they move money where it's moving, and they move it out of precious metals into bonds and things of that nature, and subsequently just their move causes the change to be bigger and bigger. It's just like a snowball. So
okay. It
can get pretty bad, but it's just, to me, it creates an opportunity for people to add to their stacks and to buy. The stuff in Iran doesn't look like it's going to be over anytime soon,
no.
So precious metals will either be kind of where they're at right now, between $4,000 gold and $60 silver. Of course, could drop a little bit too, but that shouldn't concern people because if this thing ever gets solved, then of course things will stabilize and go back to where they were. Now, by where they were, I mean silver was trading pretty respectably in the $70 to $80 range, and I think that's kind of going to be its new home when this is all over. So if people don't mind risk-taking a little bit, I think it'd be worth the risk to put a little money into precious metals, especially at these prices.
Absolutely. And what forms – yeah, sorry, I was talking to Anna yesterday about this. Is there going to be some – you know, you've taught us over time, there's – the melt value or the, you know, that value of a precious metal, but there's collectible. Would being the semi-quincentennial, is there anything it seems like it would have value in 10 years or 20 years down the road?
There is. The current coinage that they're releasing in change, pocket change, I wouldn't recommend people hoarding, because it's just like the state quarters when they first came out. Everybody saved them by the rolls, and nowadays the rolls are worth $10. So you basically made no money. You lost money because of inflation. So having a couple pieces, individual coins for keepsakes, nothing wrong with that, but I wouldn't recommend investing big money in those. There are a few limited edition releases. There is a 2026 dual-dated quarter, the latest one for 4th of July. Basically says 4th of July on it. They added a special 4th of July privy mark to it, and those babies are selling for over $1,000. Very limited number. So people are rushing to banks, buying rolls of quarters, and only four have been found so far, and they released 5,000 of them. So not a chance everybody's going to find one, but keep your eye out for those babies.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is why he's the professor. We get an education, and you'll do the same when you go see him at the shop. Tell people how to find you.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com, or just give us a call at the shop at 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, there he goes. And I always thought it was just interesting. He has so many, you know, he doesn't just say what you assume. He says what really happens. And over the decades, I have learned a lot from him. All right, to the text line. Larry and Daphne says, hey, Sean, does anyone want to discuss why the United States only gets 5% of its oil through the Strait of Hormuz, and yet our oil prices are greatly affected because we are part of the international global oil pricing stupidity? Yeah, we can discuss it. It's a world market. You know, it's like, even if it doesn't affect what we're getting, it could go. Here's the problem, too. People say, oh, you know, we're shipping out oil and refined products out of here. Of course, unless you want to put some kind of socialist state in and lock down our energy production here, the energy is going to flow to the highest bidder, right? So as you have other parts like China, I mean, it was so bad for China right now with not getting oil. Remember a month or two ago, we said they were shutting down the toy factories. What is this going to mean at Christmas? There's like whole toy factories where they, you know, need the plastics to make whatever. Tickle Me Elmo, whatever the heck is hot now. So those prices go up. The demand is there without the supply. Supply is here. Supply flows to a world market. I mean, unless you want to lock down and say you can't sell energy outside the United States, then I don't really see a solution on that one. But yeah, I mean, we're not the net recipient of that oil, but we are in that pricing index. Let's see, B-Dark said, if USA cannot take control of the straits, would you suggest tucking our tails and running? Then that's what I said, B-Dark. Both options are not good. If we leave Iran now, this gives me heartache, but if you leave Iran now, you're going to be in a situation where you have a terrorist state, right, that if you think they were working on a nuclear weapon before, holy crap, they're going to be triple-timing it. So that's what you leave? Once again, I've said this 10 times. It's the world is not a sitcom. It's not like the Iranians are going to go, you know, at the end of a sitcom and be like, the kid learns his lesson, like, thanks, Dad. I really learned my lesson. I wish I wasn't hanging out with those skateboard guys or whatever stupid thing it is, right? Do you really think the Iranians are going to go, well, thanks, United States. We really learned our lesson. We're going to change our ways. That's not happening. Oh, shucks, USA. We should have seen the way you wanted us to do it, and we're going to act right now. It's not going to happen. So what do you do there? The situation is worse than it was before. So do you... B-Dark, do you suggest we put boots on the ground? And I do think we could probably control the Strait of Hormuz to some degree, but that's going to be, you know, but that would be something like a magnet pushing against a magnet. We would have to, and this is what Trump will say, which is stuff that makes sense completely when the president says it. It's like, okay, why do we have to shoulder the whole situation? Like Larry was saying earlier, we get very little oil from there. Why do we have to shoulder the weight? Why don't the associated countries that need the oil coming through there, why don't they? When the Chinese Navy, yeah, they're looking for something to do beyond building new islands in the China Sea and the Pacific, where they put their bases on it. Let the Chinese come in there and keep it open. Make too much sense. Be like, you know, let them take a shift, and we take the next shift. Associated European countries take the next shift, and the next shift, and the next shift. By the way, Chris has thrown in here BioLite IV in a bottle. I don't. Let me live my liquid IV life here for a second before I. But it will. You said it will bring you back from death. It absolutely does. The stuff is amazing. Hey, can somebody give me an endorsement deal on that, please? All right. Coming to the phones when we get back at 251-343-0106. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 Gone. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along. Gone. Time to check in with my buddy, the boss man at LCM Motor Cars. It's David McCrary checking in. And you did it again. You found me another great vehicle. Thank you.
Well, I'm trying to figure out who's more important in this relationship, you or me, because we was right in the middle of talking about what I wanted to talk about, and you said, well, I got a radio. Hang on a second.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the radio show continues. Whether we'll talk it, too. But the selection process, I tell everybody about this. I've done this with you before, but did it again recently, looking for a specific kind of truck, you know, certain parameters, and you found it. You found me many to look at, and then I found, you know, I picked the one I liked.
Yeah, I mean, I knew what you wanted. It was just a matter of getting the right one, you know, and when you're dealing with these 3/4 ton, 1 ton heavy duty trucks, you don't know what they've been used as. You don't know what they've been doing, what they've been pulling, where they've been. You know, this particular one belonged to a rancher and just right out of Houston, and beautiful color. I mean, probably the prettiest color I've seen on a truck, and I haven't seen another one since I bought that one for you. But you know, we tired it up for you, put the Husky mats in it from S&S down the street, and got you ready to go. And I hope it's exactly what you want.
I'm digging it. So, we could talk about the inventory on the lot, because there's always great vehicles to look at. But just, I guess I'm throwing this in, if somebody comes out, walks around the lot, or checks the website out, and they go, oh, it's not exactly what I'm looking for, they're just a step away from finding that.
They are. And let me say this, and I hope my friend's not listening to your radio station and trying to jinx you, but I had a buddy of mine's wife text me yesterday, David, what do you think this car is worth if I go trade it? And I said, well, what are you doing? And she said, well, I want to buy a new Tahoe, 2026 Tahoe Z71. I said, send me your email. So she did, and I sent her three vehicles in the span of about 10 minutes, different colors, all Z71s. And I said, well, did any of these work? I mean, would you be willing to take something with 5,000-6,000 miles and save $10,000-$15,000? And she said, oh, I didn't know you could do that. So you didn't ask. You know, you didn't ask. So that's the biggest deal. I think people, I just don't think that people know what is available out there that I can get my hands on for them.
Yeah.
And until you ask, you know, you're not wasting my time by asking. This is what I do all day long. I search for cars and I love it and I enjoy it and I have a good time doing it. So you're not wasting my time. But give us an opportunity. I mean, if we can save you a ton of money, you'll be happy down the long run.
Got that right. Okay, people want to reach out to you. How do they do it?
You can give us a call, 251-375-0068. You can go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. You can text us from the website, look at stuff, whatever you want to do there. Or you can just come by and see us in person. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. We are at the third red light on the left-hand corner, so you can't miss us. Got a ton of cars out here to check out.
Y'all do it. And David, we'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
All right. There he goes. David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Going back to the phones, and it's Derek. He is up next. Hey, Derek.
What's going on?
You.
I know, for real. Dude, I am always on. So, look, man, I didn't know that law enforcement could just say, no, we're not giving you that. You know, that's... And then to see that even at the legislative level, that we couldn't get even body cams, you know, released to the public. So here's my argument.
Yeah, they're not, they're not public record. So it has to go through like a court case. Yeah.
Yeah, but they can still, you have to be compelled at that point.
Yeah.
So to know that they can just say no even if you're in the body cam? Like, it's still referred back to their judgment?
Now, if you're in the body cam, if I remember this right, if you're in it, like, you're somebody, then you can get the recording.
You can get it, or you can ask permission to get it.
You have to do a written request.
Ask, but they can
something.
Say no.
Right.
I
don't know if it's a may or shall. I got to dig through that. I don't know.
I know. This legal language, it drives me crazy. But here's my thought. Okay, if it's not a matter of public record, then they can't ever put Flock on us either. Because if body cam footage is not a matter of public record, then my travels throughout the city is not a matter of public record either. So you can't put Flock up in Mobile, or really, if we're using the same logic, you can't do it anywhere in Alabama.
It's not
a matter of public record.
Is it public record at that point? I don't know. Do they, at the essence of this, you and I are in the same place.
But looking
at the pragmatism of it, do they, if they take that video, you know, doesn't that just stay within law enforcement, or can somebody, can a citizen ask for that info?
Well, I think a citizen should be able to ask for that info. I mean, you know, because when you look at this, you know, once again, I mean, you're kind of close. You're a little bit more optimistic than I am,
mm-hmm.
you know. I think because it is public officials, that in a sense it almost has to be released to the public. I don't think that, even if as damning as it is for either party, you know, it's just one of the things that you have to go, if you're going to do it, you have to be even across the board, whether you look good or you look bad. You know, I don't think there's really any kind of wiggle room on this, because the wiggle room, I feel like, is what got us into this place where now they consider it's not a matter of public record.
Yeah, what they're going to say is, remember the argument. The argument is that it can mess up an investigation or a case or something. That's why they don't release it.
Well, yeah, you can wait till afterwards. I got no problem with that. You can wait till afterwards. You know what I mean? If it is truly, you know, a matter of an investigation, you know, but once the investigation is over, you know, I mean, it should be released. It should not be up to them to decide on whether or not to release anything. Because, I mean, if you give them that option, and then there's no legal binding to it.
Right.
Well, then there's nothing for them to do. So it gets just right back to the whole thing, like, oh, then you're not allowed to use mass surveillance of Flock against us.
Well, that, to the Flock thing, though, is that held in the same way they're holding body cam footage? In other words, if we're looking for some consistency, okay. Uh-huh. If they're denying body cam video, unless it's, you know, compelled by the court or somebody who's in it, the Flock stuff, is that just held by law enforcement too, or can anybody get that?
No. That has been more than proven. You've got third party access.
Is that what they're selling to the insurance companies?
Yeah. There's complete third party access. It's if you go to the website, the first page tells you one thing, then when you get down to like the three or four pages, it is. It goes to third parties, and you don't even know who those third parties are. I didn't believe it until I started, you know, doing a deep dive on it, and I've been watching them like, you're kidding me. And it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And they're literally telling you this. They're advertising it as such now. I don't want to get conspiratorial, because it's not a conspiracy, because they actually say these things. But to the point of it, is that either everybody gets to look or nobody gets to look. There should not be tiers to this, okay? Because if you're going to use, this is one of the things that we've had arguments. If you have nothing to hide, then what are you afraid of?
Yeah, but that's always argument's always made as you move towards less liberty. People say, well, why do you care if they look at it? You're not doing anything wrong.
Well, I feel like it's less liberty if I know. You know, I kind of have a little, you know, thing with the whole Paul Birch that doesn't want body cam. Now I get it. You know, I know why he doesn't want body cam, because he doesn't have to. You know, that bothers me a lot.
So you would like the law let's say, forget Flock for a second, for body cam in Alabama,
yeah.
That after it is, you know, used in the investigation, whatever, when it can't make any difference there, it would be open source. Anybody could get it.
Open source, public okay. release. You should be able to research everything. As a matter of fact, you know, take it even a step further, I would say everybody can, you know, what they when they upload it to the database for 30 days, the public should be able to review every single minute, every minute of an officer's day. Every single minute. From the time he puts it on to the time it gets put on the damn charger.
Does this thing go, they run all the time? Do they run all?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they can run all the time until they sit there and it's like, oh, I got to cut it off.
Well, if they go take a leak or something, I mean, you know.
Well, yeah. That I can understand. But no, every single moment. Every single moment. Because that there's not, you can't have different tiers. Okay? It's either even across the board for the plebs and them, or there's nothing. That's the only way we can have your little libertarian world, Sean. If not, we're back to my world.
That's scary, Derek. Thanks for the call, but that's scary. Leaves a lot open at 251-343-0106. Right, let me... yeah, so Tim thought that, so the dude wants Derek to have the camera on while they're taking a leak. No, yeah, I don't agree with that. It's interesting. But, you know, there's idealism and pragmatism. You could say by the time that the court case is run with the body cam video, do they know to keep it stored? You know, often you'll hear police departments say, well, we don't have the server space to keep these. And I don't know how much of that is something they could fix, how much of that is a hill they can't get over. I'm interested in that. But, you know, back to when it started, you know, at Orange Beach, if the individual on the body cam wants to release it, they should be able to release it, right? They could, and in Alabama code, you can get it. If you're in the body cam, you can request the video. Here's what it says. So the Alabama Act of 2023-507, the following people may file a written request to view body cam or dash cam footage. The individual whose image or voice is the subject of the recording, a parent or court-appointed guardian for minors or incapacitated adults, a spouse, and the legal counsel representing the person in the footage. So, says limitations and exceptions, no automatic public release. Said footage is exempt from Alabama Open Records Act. It is not public record even after investigation concludes. Discretionary denials. Law enforcement agencies may choose to withhold the recording if they determine the disclosure would disrupt an active investigation or prosecution. And viewing, not copying, individuals who are granted access to view the video are not given a copy of the footage and are legally prohibited from recording or copying the material. And like people I know that have reported on some of these cases are like, yeah, Sean, I watched the video, but I, you know, we can't release it. I've seen it. And those are interesting people to talk to. And it's like, well, what did you see? But I am just taking their word for it, right? So that's the law. And by the way, the flock thing that came up, it did remind me of something. It's probably been a year or so since I talked about, maybe a couple years ago, first started talking about your computers and your vehicles, right? The, you know, do you sign on to the whatever? Different vehicles have different names for them, but they take, it's like the black box in there, right? It's a telemetry from driving. How fast you go, how much braking you do, which, by the way, I have a side story there. It does all that information. And then they sell that to insurance companies. You're paying for the vehicle, but if you give it the green light, it's giving all this information back to the manufacturer that's then selling this information that you can't get. I don't think you can. Maybe you can FOIA request. I don't. And it sells that information to insurance companies to make a judgment on what your rates are going to be. Did you know that? So when you just say, okay, on things on the big screen in your vehicle, make sure you know before you press. You could be a kind of a contrarian like me and not press the yes, not green light. It's like, well, you won't get these features. I don't care. You're not going to sell my information like that. So check that out. We did a lot of stories on that a couple of years ago. Maybe we will revisit that. Oh, I was going to say about the braking thing. I did have the worst Uber driver I've ever had when we were in Boston. This guy picks us up in a Toyota van. I think he was brand new to driving. He spoke zero words of English. And usually that's not a problem, but I couldn't tell him to, hey, you don't just push the accelerator and let it go. You know, like when you, somebody who's brand new at driving, you're working with a kid and they're like, right, and you're rocking back and forth in your seats. We had like a 25-minute ride with somebody like that and couldn't tell him, hey, dude, you're making grown-ups sick in the back of the car. Please don't do that. Please stop that. I usually give Uber drivers great tip, 5 stars, and well, until Sunday night, and I did not. But all right, coming right back, we get some text, and we can take a phone call or two more, 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Let's get to some text here from the much vaunted text line, 251-343-0106. Dirt Digger, my man, says if China makes a deal with Iran, they would buy them off with nuclear weapons. You got to wonder why they hadn't bought one already. They had the money coming in, right? Pakistan's got it. You know, Pakistan has played both sides of this. Why wouldn't they have made the deal with Iran? I don't know. But, I mean, if we're going to, you know, working on B-Dark's text from earlier, if we're going to keep the strait open, okay, well, maybe everybody who's, you know, got skin in the game puts their Navy into the mix. Michael says that Abraham covenant thinking is as ridiculous as any theocratic thinking that comes from Iran. I'm for America, not the propped up nation state of 1948, Israel. Jason, no more Red Bull for you today, Derek. He says no more. So I don't know how many you're in or Monsters or... What was the one that Michael Savage's sons, Rockstar? They still sell Rockstar. All right, let's see. Butterknife. Sean, remember the complaint the state had with Orange Beach writing no boating under the influence citations? It sounds like the Orange Beach Police Department needs to be dissolved and restarted. Seems like the Orange Beach Police Department was really just private security guards. I don't understand that. The complaint the state had with Orange Beach writing no boating on it, I think they have. I think what you're seeing is the issue of whether ALEA, the state, with Marine Police would do it versus the Orange Beach proper. They have their own boats in their police department. Makes sense where they are. Maybe I need to go back and see. Was there a state? I don't know if I'm just, that's the sound of the now rusty wheels in my brain going, did the state have a complaint with Orange Beach writing no? But I think if that was back during the discussion of enforcement, you know, the heavy-handed enforcement, and you know what changed in that was not if you were, you know, we listen, it kind of the genesis of this started on this show and talking with the Sheriff Birch about it. But what came through is you treat your boat the same way you treat the car now. You can't just get pulled over because you're driving down the road. But if you do something stupid, you sure as heck can get pulled over. Well, same thing in the boat, and I want that. If somebody who's out there, myself and with my kids, if somebody's it's not a green light taking ALEA, you know, curbing what ALEA was doing with Marine Police. It's, they still have all the rights. If somebody's, you know, doing something dumb, or they can see that, you know, the child doesn't have a life jacket on, or the kill switch isn't attached, or all those things, they can still pull you over, as they should. All right. Tim, hell, we're paying for them to have an internet network that keeps up with whether you have car insurance or not, and we still have to carry a paper card around, but we're paying informed to build a website, and they don't have one. Kind of, getting some of what you're saying, Tim, but I mean, that's, go look at what your vehicle, depends on what you drive, unless you're driving, you know, something from the 70s. I did see a FJ that's for sale, gorgeous restored FJ, 77, I think. It's like, that's what I need. You know, you've got, the cars are tracking what you're doing. And if you agree, then the manufacturers are selling that information to the insurance companies. Let's see. Next up, look at this. I'm pretty excited. Ricardo Montalban has texted, please, Ricardo, tell me what you feel about the rich Corinthian level, leather in the new, in the Chrysler, didn't he? Remember Ricardo Montalban when he did the ads? The rich Corinthian leather. Said, someone texted this on the station earlier today, and I agree, Iran should talk to Japan. But Japan was trying to take over the world. Right? I mean, that, if you're talking about the, using the nuclear weapons, we knew that the blood loss to stop the Imperial Japanese would be so huge, we used the nuclear weapons. So, I mean, it's, I'm not, yet, y'all have not convinced me yet with the, just the, let's just completely obliterate all the living beings in the country of Iran. Not there. But what we do, I don't have a great answer for you. Maybe Paul Feinbaum does. He's on the way next.